I've got two black sheep here in the studio with me. Good evening, Ian. Good evening, Amy.
Hello.
Thank you very much for joining me tonight on this lovely summer's evening. And we have just heard your brand new single, which I don't even think it's out yet, is it? What is it out?
It's a long story. The answer is no.
Right.
It's not out yet, and it will be when everything else is finished.
Okay. Okay. Right. Well, it's great to be playing it exclusively then, indeed. So, yeah, I enjoyed that very much. It's a great tune. And who wrote it? How'd you go about your writing? Did you do it together or...?
Well, we tend to go off and do our own thing and then come into the studio with ideas and we sort of help each other out a little bit. And
okay.
Sometimes we get a song, we need help with the lyrics sometimes. You know, we work well together, but we do sort of write separately to start with, don't we?
Okay.
So, this was my song originally.
So that's yours. Okay. Yeah.
However, I made it better.
Well, there you go.
That's what he would say.
I made it better because I said, you know, in the second verse, you really need to do some pizzicato there.
There you go.
Some what? What did you say?
What's it called? Plucking.
Pizzicato.
Teamwork. Teamwork.
Yeah.
That's what I like to see, indeed. But yeah, it's a great sound you got. I mean, and do you know what? I mean, I first got hold of your album not long after I started here, and I said I'd love to go and see them play. And every time you announced the gig, I had another gig on, or I was working and I couldn't go, and I was absolutely gutted. And I was made up when I finally found out Only Child, John Jenkins, and yourselves all on the one night in one venue. It was like Christmas for me. It was great. And what a night it was.
It was great.
It was brilliant, wasn't it?
Yeah, we need to get you along to a gig when we've got all the strings with us as well.
Do you know what? I know, because Vicky plays with you sometimes, doesn't
she? Yeah, she does, yeah.
From the Monos, yeah. Brilliant, really good. But yeah, that was a cracking night. And the thing that came across to me that night is how good everyone is together. It's like the camaraderie between you all is brilliant, because you ended up joining back on stage with was it Only Child, I think, or was you?
Yeah,
you
I was playing with Only Child, but I did end up getting up for a couple, I think.
You were
with
John as well.
You were John, thought so, yeah.
We're all a big family, though.
Indeed, well, that's what comes across, you know, to me a lot, is how good you all are together, and that's brilliant. I mean, do you know each other before you were doing
no,
this?
No, I think that's one of the things that has been really great from our point of view, was when we started being Two Black Sheep, we didn't have any gigs, we didn't have anywhere to play. We almost finished the album and we'd done like two gigs, you know.
Right.
And so we did everything the wrong way around. Okay. And then we started getting involved with the acoustic people in Liverpool. So Liverpool Acoustic were doing open mics and stuff, and we'd go and do a song there. We'd go to the Cavern and do Ian Prowse's Night.
Right,
and we'd do
stuff like that.
And generally you get to know people.
Yeah.
And then I think the first time we played something off the album live was at View 2. With John, when
you've got a good memory.
I know.
A better memory
so
than me.
Jesse Terry, who was over from the States, John was opening for him, and it was John's album launch. But I can't remember which album, because he releases two a week.
He does, yeah.
And then, hello, John.
If you're writing another album right now,
yeah,
on the
he
album.
Will be. Yeah, yeah. So, so John said, "Well, if you come in, do a song."
Okay.
And it kind of just went from there, really. Mm-hmm. So we ended up doing the album launch and we sold that out to Parr Street, and then it just got better and better. But once you start doing the open mics for the acoustic guys and they get to know you, you know, then it all changed.
It goes from there.
So, and then we're just like one big family now. You see everybody at the same gigs. You know?
I know.
Well, it's the same people in the audience as well that support so much. I mean, it's amazing. A lot of us couldn't doing this if it weren't for people that come to all the gigs, you know, likes to yourself.
You need a good following. Yeah, you need people to support you.
Yeah. So we've been very lucky, really. We've picked up some good friends along the way. And
brilliant.
And the likes of John Jenkins and Alan O'Hare, you know, they're really supportive. Like, there's no kind of one-upmanship. It's not like I want to promote me. Everyone's promoting each other, and that's how it should be, I think.
It's great.
Exactly.
And it's nice now. So when we did the Atkinson, we did some Grateful Fred opening for people there. And it's just nice when you're sort of loitering by the bar afterwards trying to flog CDs that people come up and say, oh, I saw you at so-and-so, so I've come to this.
Right.
You know, and it's just like, it's quite a nice feeling, really, that it's got to that stage.
That's good.
It's got to the stage where we've got to do another album because we've sold absolutely everybody that comes to see us now.
That's got it, yeah.
It's definitely time to get another one done.
No, that's good. I mean, that's something to look forward to. One of the questions I've got is obviously, you know, with Cage, listening to Cage Bird, I'm saying, like, I hope this is the first of another 10 that are going to come together. We're going to have an album. So is that the plan?
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yeah, we've got four.
Wonderful.
Pretty much done, haven't we? I mean, not finished in the studio, but definitely fully written and partially recorded, and a couple more in the pipeline. But yeah, we are we're aiming for the end of the year. We're trying to be a bit more organised with our studio time this time. We spent 2 years like on and off in the studio for the first album, and it, obviously not constantly, but it was a long project of changing our minds and changing the arrangements of things. And so this time we're going into the studio with things fully written, fully arranged, knowing exactly how they're going to go. Already gigged them a few times, like the, a couple of songs we'll play to you today are ready for the album but haven't been recorded yet, so
we're
playing them as much as possible so that when we get in the studio we're not rewriting them as we go along.
I think I've probably got three other versions of the entire album,
right,
with like tracks with pedal steel on them that's not on the album, you know. It's just things that we'd spent like 3 hours in a studio saying do this, do that, and then going, don't like that at all, let's just take it off. So we want to avoid that because it was bloody expensive.
I bet you it was. I bet you. So you do your stuff across town as well, Erith?
We did the last album at Whitby Studios in Ellesmereport. Which, because I was in a band with the guy that owns the place for donkey's years, so it was quite relaxed and not as expensive as it might have been, shall we say. But it was at the point where I knew that I could just turn up if he was free, go in, we'd put the desk on and we'd do an hour's editing the drums, whereas if we were in a studio playing full whack, you can't, you haven't got the time.
It's just too expensive.
But we did Cage Bird at Crosstown.
Yeah.
And that was, that worked out really, really well, didn't it?
Good, yeah, we love John.
He's good, isn't he?
He's awesome.
It's funny because nearly everybody I've had in, you know, I keep seeing the same name crop up all the time. This guy,
I got to know him because of doing session work for John Jenkins and Dave Nixon. Yeah, I've been in the studio with them anyway. Got to know him that way, and I've even, because I teach as well, I teach music, I've taken some of the BTEC students over there as well, and taken them, and he was the most patient person with a load of teenage girls. He was brilliant. So it just makes sense really to go and work with him, because he's the sort of person, you know, some engineers will just literally press record, make everything sound really great but not have an opinion on anything. He's the kind of guy that if you ask him for an opinion, he'll have a really good, like, useful opinion, and he'll say, have you thought about this, have you thought about that? And you know, it's like having a producer as well as an engineer, sort of two for the price of one. He's brilliant.
Yeah, he does sense check stuff, and you know, he will stop and say, do you want to just listen to that again, because I can hear this, you know, you might not have even noticed it,
because sometimes you do need that with a person, don't you? The little bit of input there. You know, I mean, musical influences, I mean, you know, I think we're cut from the same cloth.
Yeah, we are.
You know, Sweet Slade, Mark Bolan, and
you've got your T-Rex T-shirt on
indeed,
today.
Indeed, I have. I've come dressed for the occasion. But I mean, I know from being a Mark Bolan fan, I think his biggest downfall was when he split with Tony Visconti.
Yeah, definitely.
Because Tony Visconti was like the fifth member of T-Rex, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was the other ear, and once he wasn't there, there was no one.
Amy's glazing over.
Explain in a minute, Amy. I'll ask you about your musical influences in a minute. For me, when there was no one to say to Mark Bolan, no, that's no good, that's when
that was the end.
The answer.
No, I totally agree with that.
Which is sad and a shame.
Amy doesn't know what you're talking about, because she did come to the T-Rex musical with me.
Yeah, T-Rex. What was it called?
20th Century Boy.
Yeah.
Well, do you know what? I've not seen that. I'd love to go to that. I've keeping my eye out to see when it's back up this end, because it seemed, was it Manchester?
It
was Manchester last time. Yeah. But I'm keeping my eye out for that one. But I would love to go to that.
It was good.
I love going to. Yeah.
I've seen T-Rex to see a few times, who I think are very good and very close to. I mean, the very first time I saw them, when the curtain went up and they come on, I just went, oh my God. It was just like a double take. And it's pretty good. It's pretty good. So what are your musical influences then, Amy? It's not Mark Bolan, it's not Slade.
Well, no, it's not that. I actually do like a lot of the T-Rex song. Okay. But I come from a musical family, and so I sort of was brought up on music, really. And I guess influences for me, Fleetwood Mac, majorly, Stevie Nicks, absolutely love her. Annie Lennox. My parents were big Eurythmics fans, and so me and my brother are both huge fans of Annie Lennox. And then sort of later on, I sort of got into kind of, you know, like piano vocalists, like Sarah McLachlan. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I was more of a pianist, really, and like piano singer, like in my teenage years. And then as I've I've got older, I've got more into like having hold of a violin, which takes me away from the piano. But that is where I write. I do write at the piano.
Nice.
So yeah, piano vocals as well. Like I say, Sarah McLachlan was a big influence on me at university. I had to have every single thing that she'd ever released. But yeah, I've got a bit of a rounded musical taste, really. And cool. So you know, the sweet, and you know, I'm okay with all of that stuff. Not that you can hear the influence in our music from him, really.
No, there isn't any. Yeah, you can't hear any of my taste of music in any of the songs, really. But yeah, I'm into all sorts of stuff now, and
we like a bit of country, don't we?
I mean the first album was we were making a country album,
right?
Yeah, that was the idea anyway.
Just wrote what we wanted
to
write,
and
in the end
we just said, you know what, if it comes out folk, it comes out folk, if it comes out country, it comes out country, and if it comes out pop, it comes out pop.
Let's not go, but
we can't play that because we're a country band. Let's just do what it is, you know.
I think it's best not to be pigeonholed, isn't it, into one little thing like that. If you can do different stuff, I mean it's funny, I've found certainly for myself, as I've got older, I've listened to a lot more stuff that I wouldn't have listened to years ago. I just wouldn't. For me, I was quite narrow-minded going back to when I was a bowling fan, and I had like two or three bands, and anything else that I wasn't interested in.
Yeah.
And now I'm completely opposite. I'll listen to something.
Listen to anything.
Wow, yeah, I like that. And then go and explore it a bit more and find out a bit more about it.
I know when I was a lot younger and had lots of hair, I bought...
Can you imagine?
I bought Don Henley's album when Boys of Summer came out. I can't remember what it's called.
That is a tune, though, isn't it?
It is a tune.
I bought it for the tune, and I took it home, and I put the... As you used to in them days, you didn't listen to it before you bought it. I bought it because of the single. I put it on. The single was the first track on the album, as it always was.
Yeah.
And then I was looking... As that track was playing, I was looking at the writing credits, and... That track was the only one that the writers had written on the album. And
really?
And the rest of the album, I thought, was absolute codswallop.
Yeah, yeah.
And then maybe 15 years later, I got my vinyl out of the loft to play it, and I thought, I'm going to put this on. And you know what? It's absolutely amazing.
Well, as I say, it's funny because you do seem to revisit stuff, don't you? And you go, oh, yeah, you know, that's all right. It's funny because I play quite a lot in it. I normally play the last song of the night for my mum, because my mum listens. She listens to the show. Everything else, she doesn't know anything that I'm playing, but I always play the last song for her.
Aww,
and I've been playing a fair bit of Jim Reeves. Now, I grew up listening to Jim Reeves because my mum and dad always had the Jim Reeves stuff. And you know what? What a voice that guy had. Unbelievable.
I think you are influenced by your own family, though, in terms of musical taste,
definitely.
What you brought up on. And,
definitely.
You know, listen to my mum harmonise to Annie Lennox's voice in the car. And, you know, very often me and my brother would be singing the harmony part thinking that's what you did.
Yeah.
Because that's how we learned how to, you know. And then you sort of realise when you sort of go out into the real world that that's not normal, actually. It's sort of harmonising to everything at such a young age. But, you know, we were sort of brought up on it. My mum and dad were a duo, actually,
when
we were kids. So, you know, every weekend we'd have a babysitter because they'd be off doing the clubs and stuff around Liverpool. So they're very understanding grandparents now, looking after my kids.
Brilliant.
And I go out gigging doing the same thing.
Yeah, I know. Well, what goes on comes on, as they say.
Exactly, yeah. Karma
indeed. Right, so I've got a few questions, but I'm going to hold them back for a little bit, because the whole point of this show is we have a little bit of a chat and we have a play a song or two. So if you'd like to play something for us, it would be absolutely brilliant.
Okay, we're going to play... We're going to play two new songs.
Okay.
Are we all right with these?
Yeah.
Give them a try.
We have the words next to us, but we're not known for remembering words.
So the first one is... the first one's called Ghosts, and Amy and I decided that we were going to... this has all gone to pot, by the way. We decided we were going to write two songs. Every month we would have two new songs and go to an open mic and just see if they worked or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so these were the first two songs.
That was quite a while ago. We're nearly ready for two more now.
We are, yeah. So this is called Ghost. I've written this because it's I'm quite into the planet at the minute and recycling, and so this is basically about that.
Okay.
Okay, get me in.
Two.
Wholesome, left it too late in the day. Still putting straws into soda, our future away. Look at the next generation, running in playgrounds and fields. All of their positive wishes get crushed by the industry wheels. I hear our words, they speak our fears. But we all know, in the end, they'll just be tears. And the ghosts of my life come back to haunt me. All the things that we've done, they're the bombs. The ghosts of our lives will be haunting the world where we live, from father to son. Trying to fight a plastic tide, living our consumer lives, has made us go.
Wow, that was absolutely wonderful. That was Ghosts.
Ghosts.
Brilliant. Okay, and I've had a couple of comments come in already. Absolutely fantastic vocals. Thank you very much, Mike, for your comments. And I totally agree with that. Okay, how do you go about promotion and finding gigs?
Oh, well, what we've found is that for the type of stuff that we do, we obviously use social media a lot, an awful lot. We've got a website which... it's probably less used than the social media. But what we found was that there's only so many venues you can play that want original music. And there's only so many places you can play that want original music and charge people to get in, because otherwise you don't make any money. So what we've done quite a fair bit is find venues that don't normally do music.
Right.
And then do our own gig.
That's good.
So we've done a few odd ones, shall we say. They're not odd, they were brilliant. So Amy organised one at a place called Maybrook House, which is like a country house hotel on the Wirral.
Right.
And that was the first gig we did with the Strings, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, they've got a lovely bar with all like local gins and local ales and things, and they do food as well, so they use it as like a showcase event for people to come and see their venue.
Okay.
And we used it as a chance to play our stuff, and so they did sort of like a canapes and cocktails and music sort of ticket price, and we sold it out. It was great.
Yeah, and then we did another one in Wollaston Village, which is on Wirral, in a place called White Feather Home and Gifts, which is run by the lovely Jilly. And she said, I've got like a little studio around the back, I can come and play in there. And that was again, you know, a bit of fizz on the way in and something to eat and what have you, and then just like a seated audience, and that was great. But there's places like Thornton Hoff Village Club, which is now getting a fantastic reputation. That is the type. If only there were more venues like that.
Do you know what?
In Merseyside, lovely, it would be amazing.
I know, it's perfect. I mean, I've seen quite a few gigs there. I remember seeing Ian McNabb there a while back.
Chris Difford's on there in July. That guy, what a coup for that place.
He's done well, hasn't he? Is it Neil, isn't it? He's done really well.
Yeah.
He's got a great reputation.
Because
it's nice people. It's a nice place. It's run really well. The bar's dead cheap and full of really nice stuff.
70p for a coffee. Fabulous. Because whenever I go there, I have to drive, so I can't drink. I end up drinking coffee. And when I went to say, I'll have a coffee, and I thought I'd be about 250, 70p. And I went,
Is the cheapest bar in the world. I've got to say that.
It's really good stuff as well.
I know, That's Thornton Hoff Village Club, everybody. Cheapest bar in the world.
Other bars are available.
Yeah, other bars. So it's kind of, when you're doing your own stuff, it is hard. I mean, we've just taken a whole range of gigs, not a whole range, it's in the same place, it's like a semi-residency now. But we play in the Irish House, and you won't hear any Two Black Sheep original songs in the Irish House, but we've got to do that to get the money to do the album, you know, that kind of thing. And of Amy's kids are going to starve unless we do that. It swings and roundabouts. You can't play a lot of places and do your own stuff, because that's not what the drunk punters want to hear.
Right. I mean, one of the bands who I follow who were coming in here soon, the Mono LPs, but Vicky. I went to see them at Peaky Blinders. And again, they'd done not even half of the Mono stuff. The rest was just all covers, and I thought, what are you doing that? And I spoke to them. He said, they took, we've got to do. That's how we've got to do it. And the same with the Ragamuffins. They played there, and they were launching their single, and they must have played, you know, 3, 4, 5 Ragamuffin songs. The rest are all covers.
Yeah, we're reliant on Thornton Hoff, Renshaw Street, places like that.
Yeah,
that are specifically geared up for proper gigs.
They are great venues. Both of those venues are superb for what yourselves are doing.
Amazing places.
They are.
So we're very lucky to have them so nearby, you know. And I suppose when we do the album, I think we need to then be travelling a bit further afield. Although we did have a bit of a jolly jaunt, didn't we, to Holland.
To Holland.
Really?
Yeah. That was so much fun.
Yeah, we played in Holland last year. It was the best venue ever. Honestly, it was, you could hear a pin drop in between the, you know. You could hear a pin drop. And it was really welcoming. The hospitality before was good.
Yeah.
Is it me squeaking
or you?
I don't know.
It's not me.
I'm being very still.
It's you.
I don't think it is.
Hang on. Sorry, listeners.
I think it's you.
Yeah, it's Ian.
It's me.
Ian's
okay,
Ian's
I've
squeaking.
Got the squeaky chair. Sorry, Ian.
I wasn't even breathing then. I was like, where's that coming from?
Well, it's not. This one squeaks, and I normally have someone here taking pictures, and every time they move, you can hear them.
Like, oh, yeah. It's me. It's me. Maybe it's I should start sniffing just around it. That was a private joke. Anyway, so. So we went over to the Netherlands, and it was freezing cold. And then I'd been the most memorable part of the trip was actually
cheese.
Yeah.
Cheese
was my most. No, sorry, go on. What were you going
to
say?
I was going to say I'd been banging on how good the trains were in Holland, and then on the way home it was perishingly cold. And they'd upgraded all the ticket machines, but they didn't take UK cards. And they were all card machines. And then we needed €25 change or something, because it didn't take notes. So when I was trying to get change in the local Burger King, we missed the train. And believe me, when it's cold, it's dark, it's freezing cold, you're in a foreign country and you miss the train, don't be there with Amy Chalmers. That's
I'm not good and I'm cold. Oh, no. I go to the dark side. I was like, right, that's it. This is over. We're not doing this anymore.
Yeah, enjoying the sunshine today then, because it's absolutely glorious out there, isn't it? Make the most of it. Talking about sunshine and summer stuff, have you got anything planned for any of the festivals and stuff?
We're doing... this is where I should have written all the dates
down,
shouldn't I?
We're doing the Greygaid in Wales, which is on...
the 20th. It's on Friday, the 20th of July, and the 21st of July there's camping available. It's in a place called Gregfechan, which is in between Mold and Rhythin. It's just outside of Rhythin. But we've both done it in the past with loads of different acts. I was looking at the acts that had played there before. Mm-hmm. So 2004, I did it. I think I did the first one as well in 2003.
We did the first ever one there.
Yeah.
But not as this.
No, not as this. No, we've played that loads of times. Anyway, we are headlining on Friday, July the 20th. The week before that, we're at Hollywell Town.
Beefest.
The Beefest.
The Beefest.
And that's in support of mental health support. So that'll be good. So we're going to do that. I'm not sure what time we're on. I think it's in the daytime, I think, yeah. Is it?
Well, I think it's like 4 o'clock-ish.
Yeah. Tomorrow night we're in Great Sutton on the Wirral there because we're raising money to get some restoration work done at a church there. So we've been asked to go and play there. So that'll be a great gig in a church. That's going to be originals and a bit of covers, but the sound will be great in there. Saturday night we're in the Whitby Sports and Social Club, which used to be the Shell Club, which is in Ellesmere Port. And for that one, Amy and I have got our rhythm section with us, so we're actually doing that as a four-piece.
All right.
Bass guitar, drums, me, Amy, and we've got some exciting cover versions which are either going to work.
That was what I was going to ask you as well. What kind of covers do you do?
Okay, well,
giving your playlist away.
No, the main thing, because we do a lot of the Irish gigs, so we've got loads of Irish stuff in the set, but it's not really going to be appropriate for Saturday night, although we'll be putting the odd one in. But, you know, it's things like Waterboys and, you know, that kind of stuff. But we also do some pop stuff, but with a bit of a twist. So, okay.
We've got acoustic versions of Take On Me by A-ha, that's in the set.
Right.
And we do Respect Erasure, that's in the set.
Oh, good stuff.
And we do
Moves Like Jagger is awesome.
Moves Like Jagger is great. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, we do that. We do that in the Irish house. Just the violin and the guitar. We do Moves Like Jagger and stuff like that.
It goes down really well. Yeah. So yeah, it's just doing things maybe in a slightly different way to make them a little bit more interesting. So yeah, it's good fun.
Yeah. It either works or it dies. It's no in between.
Yeah. Well,
I think it's going to work.
I think so.
He keeps telling me they love me in there anyway. Because he used to play in there with his cabaret band.
Yeah.
Like, so he's like, they love me in there. We'll be fine. We'll Whatever be fine. We do, they'll love it. I'm like, okay.
You'll be all right. You'll be fine. I'm sure. The Folk on the Dock thing. Did you try to get on that, or did you? I believe it's hard to get on, isn't it?
No, we didn't. But there was a reason why, and I can't think what it was. I don't even think we're available.
No,
because there's been a few things that have come up, and I thought, oh, we should put into that. Mm. But one of us is away.
Oh well.
Okay. Yeah, I think that might be me.
Quite a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Teacher.
Live
wasn't
that.
Well,
live the high life, mate.
Teachers have a lot of long summer holidays, don't they?
Yeah, let's not go there.
Well, probably deserved, I would say. I've been working in the school today and I couldn't do it for more than an hour at a time.
No.
An hour was enough for me.
I'm only part time, and yet still it's hard going. Love those kids, but not all the paperwork goes with them.
No, a couple of my cousins teach, and they said if it wasn't for the paperwork, it'd be a great job. But
yeah, you could do the teaching, it'd be awesome.
Okay, I've got a question off Dave Hughes. Now, Dave Hughes is a fellow presenter on here with me. In fact, he's the guy that got me involved in a station. He's a lovely fellow, and I've got a lot to be thankful to him for, because without him, I wouldn't be here, and you wouldn't be here. Mm. And he's asked me to ask you where you got the name from. Because he says, that's a beer, that. I said, I don't know.
Black Sheep is a beer. Sheep Ale is a beer, but it's nothing to do with that.
No, honestly. I didn't think so.
I'll answer the question if he plays our single.
He will do that. He will say
how it happened was, I was in Ibiza, right? Not you know, so I go on holiday sometimes too. I was in Ibiza, and we just decided to do this thing as a duo. And I got a message while I was there saying that there's a cafe in Parkgate called the Elephant Coffee Bar and Lounge, and they were going to start putting music on. So the person that was told, could you organise some music, she messaged me while I was on holiday saying, do you want to come and do a solo acoustic thing? I said, well, actually, just started a duo with Amy. She said, oh, great, right, yeah, well, we'll do that then. What are you called? So we had... We exchanged a few messages, and not, you know when someone says, well, you can't think of anything, can you? So I just Googled 10 books you have to read before you die, and The Black Sheep was on there. So
right.
I said, let's just be The Black Sheep. But then we opened a Twitter account as The Black Sheep, which is why our Twitter says The Black Sheep. We opened a Twitter account, and we started getting all these random, like, rap things, you know, in da beat and all this thing.
Really?
And then, so... did a bit of research into
it. We
still get them. It was too late by then. It turns out Black Sheep are a rap duo from New York.
Oh, right.
Big rap duo.
Yeah.
So we thought, best change the name then. So we had a quick competition on Facebook, which got the obvious responses that you can't say on the radio. And then and we were going through them whilst we were in the studio supposedly recording the album, and Amy just said, why don't we just call it Two Black Sheep? So we did. It turns out Two Black Sheep is also a book that you're supposed to read before you die.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah. You're getting that as a gift tomorrow, by the
way. Okay.
But yeah, that's why it's Two Black Sheep.
Okay.
And it's just...
There you go, Dave Hughes. That's been answered for you. I was wondering whether it was because you were both individually the black sheeps of your family.
Well,
and
I mean,
just
that could be also true.
Could be.
We like to say.
Yeah, could be. It's nothing that spectacular, really. It was a panic
move.
Well,
it could be true, though.
It could be true. It could be true. I'm actually trying to think of another story for that.
Yeah, better story, yeah. Better answer.
Well, that's a good one. My brother's just messaged me because he plays with a 60s tribute band called Searching, and they go around and they play gigs everywhere. They'll do all the 60s stuff and that. And he sent me a message in saying they've played the Whippy Social Club and it's a great venue. So, yeah, there you go.
It is. Do you know what? It's the busiest club, I think, that I ever played in for the last 10 years. I used to do the clubs like every week.
Yeah.
And that place was always full. They got a massive ballroom and a stage, and that's quite often full in there, but the bar area is quite big and it's always rammed.
They are very clever at, you know, organising events that fill a place, because, you know, a lot of social clubs you go to now are just dying, aren't
they?
I know,
it's sad to see.
You can't get a parking space, can you?
No.
You arrive for the gig, it's heaving. Wow. And they've got a pool room, haven't they? And
they've got a separate pool room, but they do like country night on a Wednesday, but they market it really well.
Yeah.
They have the it used to be Folk on the Coast. Sorry, am I squeaking? It used to be Folk on the Coast, but now that festival is held actually in the grounds of the club.
Oh, right.
And they market that, and that sells out.
So it's one of those proper really old school heart of the community kind of places. Yeah. It is great.
It is a great
club. Sounds good. Okay, well, thanks for that, Mike. Thanks for the messages in it. Right, okay, could we possibly squeeze another song out here if we could? That would be marvellous.
So. I'm going to take my headphones off of this because my bowing arm keeps getting wrapped
is
up.
Is it? Right, okay.
Wrapped up in the wires, so I'm going to go off headphones, which is a bit scary. Right, ready. Oh, yeah, well, I need to tell you what it is.
Of course.
It's another song for the album that we haven't recorded yet, and it's one that I've written. Okay. And again, it was another one written at the piano, and we've just about got it on sort of working with the guitar, because that is the thing, when you write on the piano, it doesn't always translate straight away, does it? And then you have to try and read my mind, like, how does she want me to do it? So anyway, I think we've got it.
Cool.
Right, we'll do the intro properly as well.
And what's this one called?
It's called Another Lonely Winter.
Okay.
Are we doing the edited version?
Proper version.
Okay. Sorry?
The proper version. Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, we've just had a little meeting.
We did have a discussion about this before we came in. Right, okay.
Change my mind. Okay. Stolen nights woven into history, my checkered past. You only had to ask, I was weak, you were stronger, and you knew what you had to do. Set me free and never look back. We'll meet again in my darkest dream. But for now, leave me to another lonely winter. Drug to me, One look would draw me in, those eyes as black as sin, my guilty conscience and your body would weigh me down. But then without a sound you'd be there, lying in wait, biding your time, knowing my every move. Run to her, let me go now. If you love me, set me free, and never for now, leave me to another lonely winter. Run to her, let me go now. If you love me, set me free.
Absolutely beautiful again. Thank you very much indeed. Amy, you've got a sweet voice.
Thank you.
Oh, you have as well, Ian. I don't want to. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, very good indeed. And am I right in thinking you did that one at Renshaw Street?
We did, yeah.
I think that was the first time
we played it. That was the first time we played it because we kind of. The last part of it where the violin solo is. I think Amy had written that like 10 to 3 on Friday afternoon, so we did it on the Friday night.
Yeah, all right. Well, it sounds really good, and the songs I've heard tonight and what I heard at Venture Street, I'm so looking forward to your brand new album when it comes out later this year, and hopefully you'll come back into here and you'll play again for us and have another chat. And
of course,
give us a little push.
The three-quarter set in next time.
Wow, how cool would that be? Yeah, well, it's funny because when I first invited John Jenkins on. And someone said to me, have you seen how many's in his band? And I thought, no. And then I saw them, I thought, oh my God, he's not going to bring off.
He would if he could.
I bet you he would as well. I know. But that was great. I mean, he's a good fella, and it was good meeting John. That was absolutely brilliant tonight. And enjoyed it so much. Time has beaten us. I mean, these sessions that I'm told to do that will last 20 minutes, they don't last 20 minutes at all.
Yeah, we're moving, just like here for right now.
I know.
Oh, thanks for having us on there.
You're more than welcome. It's been absolutely brilliant. I've loved every minute. Just my final thing to you, obviously, we're both bowling fans. I mean, did you ever get to see him play?
No, I'm not that old.
You're not that old?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I can remember the day that he died.
Yeah, me too.
I was getting ready to go to school, primary school, I even think, still, because it was 77, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I went down the stairs, and my mum said to me, now listen, she said, Mark Boland's been killed. And I wasn't very old. I was only 11. And I just remember that. I just remember that moment when my mum told me that Mark Boland had been killed.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
I was in secondary school, maybe a lot older than you. And I can remember because I'd take the same route to school every day. I'd knock for my mates. We'd walk across Walton Hall Park and go to Warsop High School. And I knocked on my mate's door and he just looked at me and he said, have you heard? And I went, what? And he said, oh, Mark Boland's been killed. And I can't tell you what I called him because I thought he was just, you know, being a complete and utter prat like. And he said, no, honestly. And all the way to school, I was hoping that he was wrong. And we stopped at the sweet shop on the corner and we went in and we asked the lady behind the counter. She went, oh, yeah, that's right. And I was just heartbroken. I was gutted for the whole day in school. Yeah. Anyone would have come near me in school, I would have battered them.
Yeah, I'm not sure if my sister ever saw him. Because my sister's the reason why I like T-Rex. Because I've got an older sister who was into T-Rex and all that.
It was the same for me. My older brother's.
Yeah, and that's how I got into music, really. I can't remember if she ever saw him live. I'm not sure if she did or not, but she was the one that got us into T-Rex, because it was on in the house every five minutes.
All the time. That's how I got into it. And it, lucky for me is that I did get to see him. I saw him in 1976 over in New Brighton, the New Brighton Floral Pavilion.
Good God.
And then in Manchester, Apollo in 77 on his last tour, when the Damned were supporting.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
That was a bit scary, but it was good, so at least I got to see him.
Yeah. I always remember as well, I thought my mum was weird, because you do when you're a kid, you think everybody's really old. You know, you think everybody's really old when you're a kid. I remember I came home one day and she'd bought Jeepster.
Right.
You know, the fly picture thing at the time, yeah. And I was like, you what? Mum's bought Jeepster. What's going on?
A cool mum. Nah.
Well, even worse, not that long ago, I went round to her house and I said, "Who's this Muse CD here?" And she said, "It's mine."
Really? Really? Yeah. Oh, I'll tell you what, that is pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Well, we've run out of time. Thank you very much for coming in tonight.
Thanks for having us, Jeff.
And you're more than welcome. I look forward to seeing you again. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Cheers. McGull Radio.